Let's go in to a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now that you would start to loosen the chains of burden that sit on us, that may sit upon us, Lord, as we face uncertainties and trials and battles and just walking through maybe some of the deepest, darkest times that we ever have in our life. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would start to pull us out of that, out of the depths of that, Lord. And Father, as we learn today how you fight our battles for us and with us, Lord, I pray that there would be freedom, that there would be an experience of freedom clear across this room. Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit, there would be release in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've ever faced a battle that felt like it was too much to handle, would you just raise your hand? Ever in your life, have you ever faced a battle, right? Every hand is up or should be up. It could be that it was too hard. It could be that it was too much pressure. It could be that you didn't feel strong enough to complete what was in front of you. Maybe it was because you lacked the confidence to face what it was that was in front of you. And as you know, we've been going through the book of Joshua. And today, this is exactly where we find Joshua at. He's in a situation where he may not be strong enough. He may not have enough to be able to pull this through. And so as we continue on in our text, I want you to understand this overreaching thing that God is the God who fights for us. God is the God who fights for us. If you're trying to do it on your own, guess what? You're doing it the wrong way, because God is the God who fights for us. Imagine with me, if you will, and I almost pulled a video clip for this, but I thought it would bring too many tears, so I didn't do it. Think back to the scene of in The Lion King, Mufasa, evil, right? And then Simba's dad came to save him when the wildebeest were... Everybody remember what happened? Dad came to fight, right? And so imagine with me a dad standing between his son and a group of bullies at a park. You can think of any news story that you've seen on this or any movie. There's all kinds of movies that have scenes like this. But the kid is surrounded, scared and backed up against the wall, backed up against the fence. But the dad doesn't flinch. The dad is always the champion in that story. He comes in, shoulders broad back, in full confidence, because he's coming to do what? He's coming to protect his son. He's coming to fight a battle that is not his to fight, but it's his to fight because it's his son. Understand that the Lord wants to fight your battles, not because he's required, but because you are his child. Because we are his children, he fights the battle for us. So dad doesn't flinch. He steps right in between the bullies and his sons. He puts the attackers on one side and his son on the other. And he says, you'll have to go through me first. Is that not exciting to know that that's what the Lord says on behalf of us? You'll have to go through me first. Everything changes in that moment. The bullies become like jello. They melt before the dad. Not because the son suddenly got stronger, because someone greater stepped in to fight for him. Who understands somebody greater is fighting for us this morning? Eventually, what we see is, honestly, let's back this up here for a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe that is how you feel. Your life has surrounded you. The pressure is mounting. The odds don't look good. There's nothing positive coming through. You're not strong enough to continue facing this, walking through this. Your confidence has been utterly destroyed. And the battle's bigger than you. Have you ever been there? Right? But here's the good news. You're not alone. The good news is you're not alone. Just like the dad stepped in, God steps in. And when he does, the battle shifts. The battle now becomes not about me against them. It becomes against God fighting the battle for me. We're going to look at how that played out for Joshua. If you want to turn your Bibles this morning, if you have them, Joshua chapter 10. And by the way, because it is the season of giving candy to people, possibly starting next Sunday, there will be candy handed out for everybody who brings their Bible to church. So if you want candy next Sunday morning to ruin your lunch, bring your Bible to church. I did that last year at random, and it was received well, and people had fun with it. So, but we're going to take a look at today what God did for Joshua and what he's still able to do today. Who knows that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? If he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that means he can still do what he does yesterday, today. And so let's get right in here. Let's get into our scripture. It's Joshua chapter 10, starting in verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, "Do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." What a guarantee before the battle even starts. "Not a man of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said, "In the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Wow. Think of just all the physics and all the things that our finite brains can't even begin to understand. How the Lord stopped up the sun and the moon for a period of 24 hours. Make it make sense. You can't. But the Lord, who is outside of space, time, and matter, can do whatever he wants with his creation. Joshua hears the cry for help from the Gibeons. And without hesitation, so you'll understand that the Gibeonites tricked Israel and came into an agreement with them by a way of trickery. And therefore, Joshua gave an oath to forever protect them in the time of if there was a battle or things like this. And so the Gibeons reached out and said, "Hey, we're under attack. You need to come help us." And so without hesitation, Joshua marches all night towards a fight that isn't even his own. That's bold. But here's what we cannot miss. Joshua didn't move because it made sense. He moved because God told him to. And that's exactly where we start today. God backs what he calls. God backs what he calls. Joshua didn't start this fight. The Gibeonites came asking for help, even though they tricked Israel earlier. Joshua honors his word and the covenant because it was made before the Lord. And when Joshua responds and goes, God speaks up. God says, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hands." That's a heck of a battle plan. The Lord's already said, they're into your hands. Don't worry, I got this. You just go. Notice how he doesn't say, not I will give them into your hands. He says, I have. I have given them into your hands. Victory was already spoken before the battle even began. The victory was already, could have been celebrated before the battle even began because the Lord said so. And that same promise echoes in Isaiah chapter 41:10, and it says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's what happens when you walk in obedience. I said earlier about walking in obedience and surrender before the Lord. You don't have to guess if God is with you when there's obedience and surrender unto Him. When there is, He is on your side. You don't have to wait until it gets easier. It's okay to feel unsure, unqualified, or under attack. But if God has called you, guess what? He's already moving. If God has called you, He's already moving and working this out. Now, some of you who like to, who's OCD and has to have everything a certain way and it needs to be done a certain way, will you be brave enough to raise your hand with me and Asher? Come on. I know that, yeah, let's go. See, the hands are coming up. Listen, I need all of you OCDers to listen, but then I need everybody else to hear this as well. Your job is not to figure everything out. Your job is to follow. Is that not the hardest thing that you just heard in your life? Your job is not to figure everything out. Instead, your job is to follow. So this morning, I want to ask clear across the room, is there something that you know God asked you to step into, but you've been holding back? Is there something that the Lord has called you to, but you've been holding back because you're unsure, you don't know, you're not confident? See, God doesn't expect you to step forward in confidence. He expects you to trust Him. He doesn't expect you to step forward already with confidence. He expects you just to step forward because you trust Him. You don't have to force the outcome. You don't have to force the outcome. If He called you, guess what? He will back you. God backs what He calls. So if He's called you, He's got your back. Our impact statement on that. If God called you to it, He will carry you through it. But what we've just heard is that just means we just have to trust Him. It has nothing to do with my ability, with my ideas, my anything, my energy. It has everything to do with who He is. And I've just stepped out in faith, surrender, and obedience. So Joshua, he does that very thing. He moves in obedience. And God promised the victory. Before the battle even started, God had already promised the victory. But that did not make the fight easy. He still had to climb. If you don't know, he had to climb through the night. It was basically up the side of a mountain to get to where they were. He still had to show up tired. Who shows up to work tired every Monday morning? Come on. I know every hand. How many students go to school tired on Monday through Friday? Come on. Yeah, dual roles here. Listen, we all get tired, and it's all hard work that we put in. But that is where we see something powerful happen. God doesn't just give a word, but because of Joshua's obedience to lead the fighting men to this battle, God joins the fight. And He's ready to join the fight with you. Which brings us to our second point this morning. God fights bigger than you can. Just let that simmer for a minute. For those of you who think that if I just work hard enough, if I just try it this way, maybe what you're missing is the Lord just wants you to surrender to Him. God fights bigger than you can. That's who He is. We're just going to simmer. It's a slow burn this morning. It's not about your last name. It's not about the effort that you put forth. It's not about how good of a Christian you are. It's very simply, am I walking in surrender and obedience before the Lord? And if the answer to that is yes, God fights bigger than you can. So Joshua and his army showed up exhausted. They climbed uphill through the night. But what they did, while they were tired, they showed up in obedience because they made that agreement, that covenant with the Gibeonites before the Lord. And when they showed up in obedience and they showed up ready to fight, that's when God moved. Scripture says that more were killed by hailstones than by swords. That means God's power had a greater impact than anything Joshua could do in his own strength. Just imagine with me, if you will, being on a battlefield, and out of nowhere, hailstones, giant, we don't know how big they are. They don't tell us how big, it's big enough to kill people. You're advancing the battle line, but hailstones starts taking out the army in front of you. I would say that God fights bigger than I can. I would say, hey, you got this. I just showed up. I'm here to watch and let my faith grow deeper in who you are and what you say you're capable of doing. That means that God's power had a greater impact than anything Joshua could do in his own strength. And it's true for us as well. And this is where some of us struggle. We think that we've got to be the ones to put forth the effort. We got to work harder. If it's not turning out the way we want, we got to work double time. We got to do this. We want victory, but we think it depends on how much effort that we can give. We show up tired. We show up lacking confidence. And we think for some reason that means that we're losing. God says to show up and surrender in obedience, and I will fight for you. But God sees your obedience. He sees you showing up. He doesn't care about your energy. He takes your exhaustion and he does something supernatural with it. Because it doesn't matter how we show up, it matters the position of our heart. Right? Exodus 14, verse 14 speaks right into this moment. It says, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. When you keep showing up, even when you feel empty, God fights for you in ways that you can't even begin to understand how he's fighting for you. The Lord will show up and fight for you if only we remain silent. So this morning, I'm curious, what are you carrying that feels too heavy right now? What in your life are you walking through that feels like you need to have control, that it's your control instead of trusting God with it? What is it that you're walking this morning? And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that you stop fighting with weapons that God never gave you. Stop fighting in a way that the Lord never told you to fight. Because the God who threw hailstones back then, he could still throw hailstones today. Simply when his people move in faith. And so where are you this morning? Where are you in your journey of faith? Is he the God that can still throw hailstones? Or is it God that's just disconnected and has no care of what happens in this world? Or is he the God that sits there and he's waiting for his people to come back to him? Your limits don't limit God. Your limits don't limit God. See, Joshua and his men, they do their part. They fight. They follow. And then God steps in and he starts throwing hail from heaven, but the day's not over. We see that so much more happened in that. The enemy is running. The sun is starting to go down. And that is when Joshua says something that stops everything. And if I had just an ounce of Joshua's faith, I might be so bold to pray this prayer, but I don't. He does not back off. He prays bold. And that's what brings us to the next point in our story. Big faith prays big prayers. Big faith prays big prayers. Joshua doesn't just fight hard, he prays boldly. So maybe instead of fighting hard, you should start praying boldly. Joshua looks up at the sky and he says, sun, stand still. Moon, stay where you are. And God listens. God listens, and the sun does not set until the battle is finished. Joshua didn't pray that for his own benefit. He prayed it because he was doing what God told him to do. He was following in obedience. He wanted to see the mission completed. He wanted to see the enemy destroyed, and he wanted them completely defeated so this didn't happen again. That is the kind of prayer that God still honors today. If our prayers look more like a laundry list or a honey to-do list to the Lord, we are missing what the point of prayer is. Not a single amen on that. If your prayers look more like a laundry list or a honey to-do list, you have missed what the point of prayer is. Prayer that is faith-filled, bold prayer, prayer that says, God, I want what you want, so help me do what I cannot do on my own, is a prayer that says out of surrender, Lord, it is to you, and I'm just here to follow. Bring it about. James chapter 5, verse 16 put it this way, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So what prayers are you praying today? You don't need perfect words. I remember when I first came in to my faith with Christ, prayer was a tough thing because what am I going to say? What is worthy enough to say to this King who died for me? Every syllable that I could stutter was worth it. You understand that? Anything that I could bring myself about to say, it's only about a surrendered heart. So my question, what have you stopped praying because it felt too big? What have you stopped praying because it felt like too much? What miracle, instead of hoping for the miracle, have you started to call impossible because you got tired of waiting? Thank God he doesn't get tired of waiting on us to come back around. If your prayer lines up with God's mission, you can ask him for the impossible. Not to impress people, but to finish what he started. And I believe that we are in that very moment, if you will, right now, here in New Sharon. There is a battle being fought. Whether or not you see it, whether or not you recognize it, if there is 1.7 million people in the state of Iowa who don't have any religious affiliation, that does not mean they're Christian or not Christian, just religious affiliation. How many of those 1.7 million people are right here in New Sharon? We're a community of 1,287. Maybe if we toll all the churches, we take a tally between all the churches in our community, we might hit 500 of those people. Where are they? Because we want to bring about what his mission is. We want to bring about and finish what he started. When your prayers line up with God's purpose, no ask is too bold. Now, if you're asking for the sun to stop and the moon to stop just so you can see, that's not the right reason, right? Like, I want to ask, I want to say it, but what prayers line up with what the Lord has started that he wants to finish with us, with him? When your prayers line up with God's purpose, no ask is too bold. So what do we do with this? What do we do with all this information from Joshua that we heard this morning? And it's more than just a story. It's more than just history. It's a reminder that the same God who fought for him, guess what, is still fighting for you. The same God that fought for Israel is the same God who fights for you today. The God who spoke, the God who showed up, and the God who stopped the sun has not changed. And this story, it does something. It calls us to a response. It calls us to respond because God did not save you so you could live a safe life. God did not save you so you could live a safe life. Period. You want to know? Here, can we just go completely off the notes here? Y'all with me? Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews.
I got to find it. You got to give me a second here. Give me a second. I feel the pressure. I feel everybody's eyes peering at me right now. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. He did not save us to live a safe life. In verse 36, I'll give you a second to find verse 36 there, but this is the chapter on faith. Let's just go to 32. Let me just read this. We're already on a squirrel trail here. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Because of their faith in Jesus, you are not called to be saved to live a safe life. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goat, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And in all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. He's talking about Jesus being the fulfillment and the new covenant. Anybody sawn in two this week? No, we don't understand in the United States what it is. There are Christians on the other side of the world that are getting murdered by the dozens because they profess Jesus. We are not called to live a safe life. He saved you to walk in surrender, trust, and power. That means obedience even when the battle looks bigger than you. That means if I have to run to a deserted cave because the crowd is coming to stone me because they don't like my message, guess what? Better to be in the cave with the Lord than to be out here apart from the Lord. Right? So God is not asking you to shrink back when the pressure rises. Instead, he's telling you to dig in even deeper. That means faith, even when your strength runs out. Pray those bold prayers. God is simply not asking you to carry the weight of the situation by yourself. He's asking you to trust in him. He is not looking for perfect people. I used to say I'd have to get this right before I could step into church because I would, get hit with lightning when I walked in. You do not have to be perfect. And all the unperfect people said. He's just simply asking us to trust him. He's looking for a people who are surrendered before him. People who will say like Joshua, God, I do not know how this ends, but I will go where you lead. I will fight when you say fight. I will pray what only you can answer. Those are the people that the Lord fights for. Some of you are walking through something that is way past your limits. You've done all that you know how to do, what to do. You have prayed. You have pushed. You have fought. You have tried to keep it together. You know that God's not asking you to keep it together. He's not asking you to hold it all together this morning. He's asking you to simply remember who holds you. Who holds you? The Lord does. So what is your next step? Do we need to return to what the Lord first called us to? Is there something that the Lord called you to that you have abandoned because it was too hard and you need to return to it? Do you need to keep moving forward even though you're exhausted? Do you need to stop playing it safe and pray like you actually believe that God still moves? How would our prayers change if we knew that if we asked the Lord to throw a hailstone, figuratively, whatever, at our battle line, that he would do it? How much more bold would those prayers become? See, Joshua's courage did not come from personality or ability. It came from God's presence. It came from being in his presence. And that same presence, it is available for all of us today. It's not about what you can do. It's about who goes with you. God is the God who fights for you. So as a church, I want to encourage us to start walking in faith. Start praying in boldness. Let's live like the battle already belongs to the Lord. Because when we live like that, we are not just surviving another week. It comes to a point where our lives, because of how we are living surrendered, starts engaging our community for Jesus. Joel, if you want to come on up. And listen, that is the kind of church we are becoming. If you would you bow your heads, close your eyes? This is a moment between you and the Lord, and I'm only here to walk you through it. It has nothing to do with the words. It has everything to do with the position of your heart. Are you living surrendered before him today? Some of you are fighting a battle right now that is bigger than you. You've tried to hold it together. You have tried to fight in your own strength. You have pushed, you have prayed, you have hoped that something would shift, but nothing seems to ever change. And maybe the reason you feel like that today is because you were fighting alone, because you have never surrendered your life to the one who fights for you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, for those of you who've been around for a minute, you know what it says. What does it say? You will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, I don't care what road you're walking down. In this moment right now, God, he brought you here right now for this moment, for this message today. He brought you here because there's a decision that you need to make. And if you need to walk in a life surrendered to the Lord, receive his forgiveness, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Come on. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Let's pray together as a church. Listen, these words are meaningless if your heart isn't surrendered. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess that you are Lord and Savior. I believe that you were raised from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me new. From this moment on, I step forward in complete surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, maybe you've never been in a church that applauds salvations, but guess what? Scripture's very clear. There's a band of angels right now in heaven celebrating over your name being added to that book of life. And so if the angels of heaven can celebrate you, we can celebrate you right here on earth as well. Praise the Lord. Now, for every other believer in this room, I know we're getting a little bit long in the tooth here, but hang with me because I believe that the Lord has something
And I don't want you to rush out of here and miss what he has. So let me ask you this one question this morning. Where do you need to surrender your fight? Right now, what in your life do you need to surrender? What do you need to give the Lord? Some of you are tired because you've been carrying something you were never meant to carry alone. You are walking in obedience, but you're just tired. You're worn out. Others of you have completely stopped praying because your prayers were all lost with no hope. You forgot the boldness that the Lord called you to. Listen, the altar is open. The altar is open today for anyone who is ready to say, God, I trust you with this battle, and I am done carrying what belongs to you. So if you need strength, come. If you need to renew your heart, come. If you need to start praying bold prayers again, come. God is still fighting for his people. He still answers. He still moves. What he needs from you this morning is a heart that is surrendered, completely surrendered before him. So church, together, no judgment. Let's respond. Let's worship and let's trust that the battle still belongs to the Lord. Amen? The altars are open.